We're continuing in our summer series called The Fruit of the Spirit, where we are looking at a list of character traits that the Apostle Paul says are a product of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now, we have said that this list of character traits are traits that we would love to see in the people that we have to live with, our spouses, our friends, our co-workers, and we're sure that they would love to see these character traits in our lives, but the question is, how do we all get these in our lives? The Bible says that everybody can display these character traits in their lives in part, but when the Holy Spirit gets involved, it's different. With the power of the Holy Spirit, these character traits begin to show up in ways in our lives that we could not display on our own. When the Holy Spirit is involved, our lives begin to change. And Christianity talks about change very differently than every other religion. Most other religions say something like, you need to change before God will accept you. You need to change your behavior, your lifestyle, your habits, and then, after you've cleaned yourself up, then God will accept you. But Christianity says that God accepts everyone as they are, but he doesn't leave them that way. The Bible teaches that as soon as you put your faith in Jesus, no matter what your life looks like, your sins are forgiven and you are accepted by God because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. But God doesn't stop there. God loves us too much to leave us the way that he found us, so God made a promise not just to save us, but to change us as well. And the way that God fulfilled this promise is that he sent his Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, to live within you and within me, changing us into something new. And one of the ways that we know that the Holy Spirit is busy changing us is by the fruit of the Spirit. When we begin to see these character traits appear in our lives, this is the evidence of God's activity. Now, I am sure, based on the stories that you are emailing me and telling me, that every single one of us has plenty of room to grow in these 9 areas. So it's good news to know that the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is the one working in us growing these character traits, because for some of us, to begin to see any of these traits grow in your life will be as miraculous as raising someone from the dead. All of a sudden, a little bit of patience grows up in your life, and people look at you like they've seen a ghost. What has happened to my husband? Because if you're anything like me, when we all talk, we have stories to tell just how much we are lacking in these areas. And if the Holy Spirit is going to cut down on some of that in our lives, then I'm all for it, because this is going to make life better for me. But what if God's plan for the fruit of the Spirit isn't just for me or for you? What if God has plans for the fruit that the Spirit is growing in our lives that are much bigger than us? The reason that I ask this is because before I started to prepare for this series, I kind of looked at the fruit of the Spirit like a toolbox for my life. Like, as soon as I became a Christian, then God gave me the Holy Spirit so that I could build my life better than it was before. But is that really the reason that God gave us the Holy Spirit? To make our lives better for us? Because when we read through the New Testament, we find things like this. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to" who? "Your Father who is in heaven." So it seems here that there is an element of my life and yours that is going to be used by God for somebody other than us. Do you see how this verse says that people are going to see our lives and it's going to point them back to God? We see this sort of thing again in 1 Peter. It says, "Live such good lives among the pagans." Now, pagans, this is just people who weren't Christians, "that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify" who? "God." So here Peter says that our lives and the way in which we live them will show God to other people. Do you see that? Now, all of a sudden, these character traits that are called the fruit of the Spirit, they are not merely tools for a better life for us. They are tools to show God to people through the changes that God makes in us. These verses say that people will see my changed life and conclude, "What in the world has happened to Dusty? The old Dusty, where is he? This new Dusty is way better than the old one. What happened?" And then we will tell them the real answer that points them to God, the one that we looked at in week one. Here it is in 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." God has a plan not just to save us, but to change us as well. And when people see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the changes that God is making in us, our changed lives will paint a picture to the world around us of what God is like. Do you see all that? Now here in 2 Corinthians, in the same exact paragraph that we talk about new creations, we also read this verse. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." Do you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is a person who acts as a representative. It's somebody who represents another. What this verse is saying is that we are ambassadors for Jesus. We represent Jesus here on earth. So much so that it says that God is making his appeal to the world through us. Now, if we're going to represent God, then we should probably resemble God in the way that we live and in our character. So when the Holy Spirit begins to grow fruit in our lives, yes, there is going to be some positive benefits for us in our lives, but when we display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we point people to God because we represent him. Think about this. There may be some people in your life whose first impression of Jesus is you. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but maybe with the help of the Holy Spirit, their impression of Jesus by meeting you might involve these kinds of character traits. This morning, like every week in this series, we are going to talk about one of these character traits. And the character trait that we're going to look at this morning is faithfulness. And when it comes to faithfulness, this is one of those characteristics that we really, really love to see in other people. In fact, faithfulness is that characteristic about God that we talk about all the time. Here are some of the things that we love about the faithfulness of God. In Psalm 145, it says, "The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works." We love that God is faithful in his words. It means that whatever he says is true and trustworthy because God does not lie. He is faithful to the truth in all that he says and all that he does, and we love that, don't we? Hebrews says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." We love that God is faithful to his promises. We love that God keeps his commitments. We love that when he says that he is going to do something, he does it. We love that, don't we? And then Deuteronomy says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love to 1,000 generations. Not only is God faithful to his covenants, his faithfulness is continuous. Here God's love is described as being steadfast for 1,000 generations. Do you know what words come to mind when we speak about this? Reliable, dependable, constant. We love that about God. We love that in every situation that he will continue to be the same. We love that we know what to expect from God in every situation of life. And we love that God will continue to be that despite what is happening all around. Romans says, "What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify God's faithfulness? By no means. God is faithful. He remains the same. He is unwavering, even when everyone else isn't." These are the things that we love about God's faithfulness. And if we are going to be his ambassadors, If we're going to be God's representatives here, then we should probably be displaying some of these same aspects of faithfulness in our own lives, right? We should be people who exemplify this kind of faithfulness. If we were to summarize God's demonstration of faithfulness into a definition, it might look something like this. The faithful person is one who is dependable, trustworthy, and loyal, who can be relied upon in their relationships, who is honest in their actions, and ethical in their dealings. Now, sometimes this is easier said than done. Sometimes faithfulness like this is difficult, especially when the stakes of your life get higher and higher. When we began this series, the question that we attached to the character trait of faithfulness was this: do you do the right thing even if it's the hardest option? Can you continue to choose to be this even when this is the most difficult? Even when this is the unpopular choice? Even when this might cost you something? Sometimes when life gets complicated and faithfulness gets harder and harder and it becomes the hardest option, we begin to think that faithfulness is optional. Because in the hardest parts of our life, honesty, integrity, and loyalty will feel impossible unless you have been preparing for it. In my everyday life, if I get a craving for fruit, I can simply drive to the nearest grocery store and buy a full bag of full-size, completely ripe apples. When I crave apples, when I need apples, I can buy apples just like that. It's immediate. And because of this accessibility, apples do not cross my mind until the moment that I want them. Now, these character traits, including faithfulness, they are called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit stand of the Spirit, meaning that these are grown and not bought. So when you're in the middle of a difficult part of your life and all of a sudden you crave some faithfulness, it's not going to be ready in that moment unless it has already been growing for a while. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus says it like this. He says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." There are going to be some big moments in your life where faithfulness is going to be required. And chances are you are going to respond in those big moments according to the same patterns that you have been responding in the little moments. Here is a phrase to summarize what we are going to look at this morning. Faithfulness begins in the little things. I know this is the first service, so pay attention here. Let's everybody say this out loud, not just in your brain. Faithfulness begins in the little things. This morning, we are going to examine what faithfulness looks like in the little parts of life that we might often overlook. Because there are going to be circumstances in your life and mine that are going to require us to be faithful. And our faithfulness in the little things will prepare us to be faithful in the big things. We're going to look at a passage in Ephesians chapter 4 that gives us a glimpse of what the different aspects of faithfulness will look like in the little parts of our lives. Let me go ahead and give you the different aspects that we're going to look at, and then I'll show them to you in Scripture. Here are the three things that we're going to look at today, the little parts of life. It's unqualified honesty, personal integrity, and decisive dependability. All of these aspects of faithfulness are going to be represented in one way or another in this passage in Ephesians. So let me give you the context for this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. In chapter 4, Paul is talking about the new life that we as Christians have in Jesus. We are no longer what we used to be. We are not yet what we are going to be. But right now we are being changed into something new by the Holy Spirit. Here's how Paul says it. He says, "But when you heard about Christ and were taught in him, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul says that when you first put your faith in Jesus, God had a plan, not just to save you, but to change you as well. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, put off the old you and grow into the new you, who is being created to resemble and represent God as his ambassador. Do you see all of that in this verse? Now, in this same passage, Paul gives us some before and after pictures. He says, this is how you used to be, but the Holy Spirit is changing you, so this is how you are going to be. Now, here is a picture of what Paul says we were like before. He says, we will no longer be children, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Now, Paul uses several images here to describe what we all used to be like. He says we were like little children, in that little children, they don't think for themselves. Little children simply believe anything and anyone because little children don't know any better. Paul says that's what we used to be like, little children. And then Paul says that we used to be tossed around like the waves and blown around like the wind. Paul says that we used to be the kind of people who, rather than standing up for anything, we simply went with whatever direction those around us were going. Everybody else thinks like that, so I'm going to think like that. Everybody else lives like that, so I'm going to live like that. Everybody else is doing that, so I am going to do that. What does your grandma always say whenever you start talking like that? She says, well, if everybody else is going to jump off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? Paul says, this is how we used to be. We went in whatever direction everyone around us was going. We were tossed around like waves. We were blown around like the wind. This is how we used to be. But then Paul gives us a picture of what the Holy Spirit is changing us to be. If that was the before picture, then here comes the after picture. In verse 15, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. He says, instead of being children, the Holy Spirit is going to grow us up into maturity. And then in verse 25, he says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And then in verse 29, he says, therefore, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So these are the pictures of the new creations that God is changing us to be. And woven within these pictures are some examples of the Holy Spirit's fruit of faithfulness. Now, let me show you what I mean. These examples are subtle, but they have big implications in our lives. The first aspect of faithfulness I will call unqualified honesty. Take a look again at verse 15. Here it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Here, Paul gives us a picture of what the Holy Spirit is changing us to be. Notice the word instead. This is a contrast word. We used to go where everyone else was going. We used to live like everyone else was living. But now, instead of living like everybody else, the Holy Spirit wants to change us to live differently. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is going to change us to live differently is that we are going to speak the truth. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit is changing us to become people who are honest, and honesty is being faithful to the truth. Now, the reason that I call this unqualified honesty is because we live in a world that sometimes puts qualifications when speaking the truth is necessary. Most everyone would agree that if you tell a straight-up lie, that is not speaking the truth. Lying is not being faithful to the truth. But lying isn't the only way to not be faithful to the truth. Sometimes in our world, there are qualifications in place where not speaking the truth is acceptable. Here are some of the ways that we can not be faithful to the truth. I borrowed this list from an author. I'm sure we'll all be familiar with some of these. Here's the first one that he writes. White lies Do you know what a white lie is? A white lie is where nobody gets hurt, so it's not that big of a deal, but it's still not really the truth. Like when I played basketball in college, in the program, it said that I was 5'6". Didn't hurt anybody. Not exactly faithful to the truth. Then there's omission. Omission is when you leave out key elements of the truth, but keep enough elements so it's not technically a lie. The high school students go into a party at their friend's house, and mom asks, "Are there going to be parents there?" And the kid responds, "Yes, parents will be at the house." What they said was true. What he left out was the parents will be at the house until 7, and the party starts at 7:30. Not a lie, parents are at the house right now, but not faithful to the truth either. Sometimes we qualify the truth for the sake of politeness. We say things like, "Oh, I would love to come with you, but I can't." When deep down, you would not love to come with them. You actually would hate to go with them. You would love to do anything but go with them, but you are being polite. We do this, right? And then there is exaggeration and hyperbole. Sometimes exaggeration comes up, especially when we're in a fight. We say things like, "Well, you always do this and you never do that," when in reality, they don't always do that, right? And then hyperbole is when we embellish the details to spice up the truth and make it sound better. These are all ways of not being faithful to the truth. Now, we've all done stuff like this, and you're probably rolling your eyes at me right now thinking, "Dusty, you're nitpicking. These aren't that big of a deal. These are little things." And that's exactly my point. These are little things. And doing this stuff doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't change your standing before God. It doesn't ruin your life. It doesn't do anything bad like that. But Jesus said, "One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." And Paul says that we need to speak the truth, that the Holy Spirit is changing us to be people who are faithful to the truth. So my point in all of this is to playfully point out that not being faithful to the truth in the little things, when we're not faithful to the truth in those little things, we shouldn't be surprised when the big things come and we aren't faithful to the truth in those moments either. The Holy Spirit wants to grow faithfulness in each one of us. The Holy Spirit wants to grow patterns in us where we are faithful to the little things so that when the big things come, we will be faithful to the truth in those as well. Because faithfulness begins in the little things. You follow me? That is unqualified honesty. Now, the second aspect of faithfulness that we're going to look at is this: personal integrity. In verse 25, Paul says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood." Now, this word falsehood in Greek is the word pseudo. Maybe you've heard this word before. Sometimes in English, we use this word pseudo for words like pseudonym. Do you know what a pseudonym is? Pseudonym is when we use a fake name, like John Wayne. Did you know that his name really was Marion Morrison and John Wayne was his pseudonym? I didn't even know that. So pseudo means fake. And here in this verse, Paul is telling us, since the Holy Spirit is changing our lives to be people who live differently, one of the ways that we will live differently is by putting off the fake stuff, putting off the falsehood. Now, if you're anything like me, when I look at my own life, I don't think that I'm fake. I think it's rude for you to imply that I'm fake. So calling someone fake is an insult. I don't think that I'm fake. But sometimes, I'm not the same. Sometimes in life, depending on our environment, we may not be the same person. Isn't that true? Maybe you're a different person at home than you are at work. Maybe you're a different person around your school friends than you are around your church friends. Maybe you're a different person on Sunday morning than you were on Saturday night. Maybe you're a different person in person than you are on the internet. Maybe in person you are nice and fun and a joy to be around, but on Twitter or Facebook or behind an email, you're kind of a jerk, like you're a different person. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is trying to change you into the kind of person who puts off the fake stuff, the kind of person who is the same in every area of their life. One of the words that we often associate with faithfulness is the word integrity. And we define integrity as the state of being whole or undivided. And from the same word that we get integrity, we also get the math word integer. You know what an integer is? An integer is a whole number, not a fraction. Maybe for some of us, being faithful in the little things begins by getting rid of some of the fractions and letting the Holy Spirit grow integrity in us. Instead of having a work dusty and a home dusty and a gym dusty and a church dusty and then a dusty with his college friends, maybe there should just be one dusty who is the same in every single part of his life. The Holy Spirit wants to grow the same kind of faithfulness and integrity in us that we see exemplified in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faithfulness begins in the little things, like integrity, like being the same person in every aspect of your life. You see that? Now, the final one that we're going to look at is this: decisive dependability. In this very same verse 25, Paul says that one of the reasons that we're to put off the falsehood and be faithful to the truth is because we are members of one body. And this language of members, it assumes a mutual commitment. In the same way that all the members of your physical body depend on one another to work together, we are to be the kind of people that can be relied on by others. We are to be dependable people. Now, dependability is another one of those words that we associate with faithfulness. And the reason that I put the word decisive in there is because we live in a world that is incredibly indecisive, especially when it comes to commitments. In the world that we live in, personal freedom is seen as vital. We all want to be able to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. So committing to something is seen as a bad thing because commitment is viewed as a loss of freedom. If you commit to anything, people look at that and say you are now a slave to that commitment. And in our world, because we are so afraid of losing our freedom, we have created an unhealthy fear of commitment. And not just in relationships, but commitment to anything. To contracts, to promises, to agreements, to jobs, whatever it may be, we see commitment as being tied down. So when it comes time to commit to something, we live in a world where it is all too common for people to balk, to waver, to waffle, to be indecisive. But we don't call it that. We call it something much more palatable. We call it keeping our options open. And this is largely the way that commitment works in the world that we live in, isn't it? And one of the unfortunate side effects of all of this is that we now live in a world where nobody commits to anything or commitments are broken when stuff gets hard. But Paul says, we are no longer children tossed around by the ways that the world operates. Paul says that we operate like members who are decisively dependable. James puts it like this. He says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven. Now, when it says swear, do not swear, it doesn't mean cussing. Don't do that either. But he says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. What James is saying here is something that you might have experienced as a kid, especially if you have a sibling. My brother and I, when we were kids, we would make deals with each other all the time. We would promise to do stuff, we would make arrangements, we would make agreements, and then if the agreement was too difficult or didn't benefit us anymore, then we would just break it. But then sometimes, when the deal was very serious, we would say stuff like this: I swear on my Ninja Turtle collection, or I swear on my Super Soaker 3000, or if you grew up in church, what was the mother of all swears? I swear on the Bible that I will do what I said I will do. Did you do this kind of stuff as a kid? Now, the reason that we had to swear on stuff in the first place is because we had developed such a bad track record from breaking promises in the little things that when the big things came, we were no longer dependable. James is telling us here that the Holy Spirit is trying to grow in us to the kind of faithfulness that will make us the kind of people who don't need to swear on anything because we've created a track record in the little things where we are so dependable that when the big things come, we can simply say yes or no, and people will know that when we make a commitment, we follow through with it. We are decisive. We are dependable. We are faithful. This is the kind of faithfulness, decisive dependability, that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us, even in the little things, because faithfulness begins in the little things. Now, you may still be thinking that none of these little things are important at all. You may not be paying any attention to them, rolling your eyes at me still, but I promise you, one day, there are going to be big moments in your life. And rather than waiting for the big moments to come and frantically start looking for fruit then, the Holy Spirit wants to begin growing fruit in us in the little things, so that when the big things come, that fruit is ripe and ready. And on top of all of this, we are ambassadors for Jesus. We represent him in this world around us, in the big things and in the little things. And when people see the faithfulness growing in us, even in the little things, it will point them to the faithfulness of a God who loves them as well. Do you believe that? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you are a faithful God, and we thank you for all of the ways that your faithfulness is demonstrated throughout Scripture and in our own lives. And God, I pray that since you have called us your ambassadors and you've equipped us with your Holy Spirit, that we would represent you, that we would show faithfulness in all the parts of our lives, even the little parts, in the same way that resembles how you are faithful to us. God, it's good news that the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is in us, growing us faithfulness, because on our own, we are not faithful. Sometimes we are not faithful to the truth. Sometimes we are not the same person in every area of our life, and sometimes we are not dependable. Sometimes we waver. Sometimes we go back on our commitments. But God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus is in us, growing the fruit of faithfulness, even in the small things. God, I pray that this week, as we go about our everyday life and those little things come up, you might cause us just to pause for a second and recognize, hey, this is a little thing. And in this little thing, the Holy Spirit is creating a pattern so that when the big things come, I will be faithful. God, we thank you that you were so faithful to us that when we needed you the most, you came through with your promise to save us in Jesus, and even more than that, not only to save us, but to change us as well by your Holy Spirit, making us to be more and more like Jesus every day. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.